Hallelujah. Well, today, we're another week closer to Christmas Day, and we get closer to that day. And today, we're going to talk about the most important event ever, accompanied by the most important song ever that contained the most important announcement ever. This is in the Bible, this is a one-sentence hymn, or a one-sentence carol that's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, when it's cried out, "Glory to God in the highest! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Praise God. That right there is the most wonderful hymn of celebration of the birth of the Messiah, the baby that was prophesied and promised. But I want us to understand something very carefully and clearly today. These words also for you and I define our need. Every one of us, our need. And in defining to us today our need, they define the mission of that little baby born in the manger. And if they define our need, they define then His mission. Then these words, listen carefully, these words not only announce a birth, they predict a death. The two words in there are key to us today. Glory and peace. Glory and peace, the two key words. And we need to be, listen to this, we must actually be self-aware that we are glory-focused, are we not? Perhaps we're even a little bit glory-attentive, and some, dare I say, may even be glory-seeking. We're even a little bit glory-obsessed. Everything we do in life, everything that we say in life, every choice we make, every reaction in relationships is done in direct pursuit of some kind of glory. But listen to this. Because we were created to live, were we not? We were created to live with the glory of God in view. Hallelujah. We are created so that the principal motivation in life would be that God would be praised. Hallelujah. That God would be pleased. Yes, we were created to live in the most practical sense of what these words mean. A Godward existence, an upward focused existence, that God would be the reason that we do everything that we do. Everything, not just some things, but everything that we do. So why then did our good God, our faithful God, create us? And the short and true answer is, God created this world for His glory. In Isaiah 53, it's like a love letter to the people of God. God proclaims Himself in here as our Lord and Savior. He claims by saying, listen to this, you are mine. Hallelujah. He says in Isaiah 43 verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Hallelujah. We understand that God created man in His own image. Now understand this, images are created to display or represent or reflect the original, to glorify the original. Therefore, God made humans in His image so that the world, listen to this, so that the entire world would be filled with reflectors of God. Images of God. The angels cried out in Isaiah 6 verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is filled with His glory. The whole earth is full of millions of human image bearers. And therefore so does the entire universe. Psalm 91 verse 1 declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, dear ones, today creation was designed to direct us very clearly and specifically to the glory of God, to the majesty of God, that everything that was created points you and I to the person, to the character, to the plan of God, that we would be reminded again and again and again that absolutely everywhere we look, we see that God is, and that God must be the center, the absolute center of our existence and of our being. Whether it is the beauty, whether it's the beauty of nature, or our connection with other human beings, or for that matter, the senses, the sights, the sounds, the smell, all things that thrill our senses today, all of those things, all of those glories, listen to this, are shadow glories that are meant to reflect the one true glory, that is the glorious glory of God. Amen. That's the way it was meant to be. This is the way we were meant to live and meant to be. But in one sad moment of rebellion and disobedience, in the beginning, Adam and Eve rather chose to live for the glory of creation than for the glory of God. The ultimate error. Author Paul Tripp writes of how, listen to these words, he writes how glory confusion actually led to a glory war. He says, we follow shadow glories and we lowered ourselves to glory thieves. Interesting. You see, Adam and Eve wanted something in God's creation more than they wanted God himself. More than God himself. And ever since that awful, incredible, horrible moment in all of our hearts, we don't always live for the glory of God, do we? No. There are other glories in our lives today that can compete for our heart rather than the one true glory of the glory of God. And often today we forget God's glory and we live for those other shadow glories. In fact, you could argue today and we could argue today that every sin has at its root an exchange of God's glory for some glory in his creation. Let me explain that to you. Lust exchanges the glory of God for the glory of a brief sexual encounter or pleasure. Materialism replaces the glory of God with the possession of mere physical and temporary things. Pride today chooses to live more for self-glory than for the glory of God. We are all a little bit glory confused. We're all in some way, hey, I hate to say it, we're all in some way glory thieves. And if today we reflect in our own world this week, I wouldn't be able to say in every way possible, I live with the glory of God in view. There are times when other glories become more precious to us and we somehow manage to convince ourselves that we somehow cannot live without these glories and our life is more dictated by the worship of what was created than the worship of the Creator. And here's what happens. That never leads to a heart that finds rest. No. It never leads to inner peace. It never leads to satisfaction in our life because the shadow glories can never fulfill our hearts. Never meet our hearts' need. Because they weren't designed to do that. You can't turn the created world into your own personal Messiah. It will never work for any one of us. Not at all. So today, we have a glory problem going on in our world today. All of us are still yet in the midst of this thing called a glory war. We all have moments, do we not, of glory confusion. We all have times where we want the creation more than we want the Creator. But yet the one little hymn here in Luke chapter 2, 14 comes back to us and says, glory to God only in the highest. To receive all praise and glory and honor, it belongs to you. Salvation belongs to the Lord only. only to him. Imagine, listen to this, imagine what a church, or imagine what the world would be like if every single person lived this way. Imagine what it would be like to live in a world where every single person's heartbeat of every human being was ruled by the glory of God. What would that look like? Even so, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. We're not talking here this morning about a spiritual or religious thing. This is the way God designed all human beings to live. Every single one of us, all human beings were called, we were chosen, we were created to live for the glory of God. That is the creation plan. And then, as we've said, sadly, in that moment of self-glory and rebellion, all was shattered. All was shattered. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Dear ones, today, the great tragedy of the world, or the great tragedy of the universe, is that while human beings such as you and I were actually made to glorify God, we have fallen way short of this purpose. Way short. The glory of God. Glory and peace. Glory and peace. Glory to God in the highest. The second word in this little sentence or hymn or carol is that incredible word, peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Is he pleased with you today? You and I, listen to this. You and I were created for peace with God. Hallelujah. We were created so that the most important thing in our lives would be that relationship with God. We were created so that we would have high honor of being the worshipful, obedient friends of God, so that friendship with our good God would be the most important, meaningful reality of every single one of our lives. Every one of our lives, and that peace with God today would allow you and I to have that peace within. Not peace, by the way, because we're strong. Not peace because we're somehow wise. Not peace because we know what's happening next. But peace because we have this relationship with the one who rules it all, who guides it all by his hand. And so because of the relationship with God, even though we don't know all we need to know and we cannot predict the next day, we can have peace in our hearts, rest. You see, when shalom with God is broken, and when shalom with God is shattered, then the result is that my heart and your heart is no longer at rest with God. There's a horrible moment in the garden again where God comes down. Scripture says he comes down in the cool of the day to commune with Adam and Eve. It's this beautiful, glorious picture as all things were meant to be up until that moment. They are the friends of God. He would walk with them in the garden, with them throughout the day. It's a beautiful scene. It's a gorgeous, stunning picture. All is well. All as things are supposed to be, yet Adam and Eve are no longer running to encounter God. They're no longer running to have that meeting with God. They're somehow lost their joy. They no longer have their peace. They're no longer excited to see God. No, now we find the man and woman hiding because of what? Because of guilt and fear, because they have been disobedient. And that peace with God has been broken. It has been devastated. It has been totally shattered. shalom encapsulates something more for you and I today, much more fundamental than just the absence of conflict. Listen to this. If it pictures that all things are in their proper order, are working in the way they were actually made and designed to work. Peace for you and I with God means I have absolute peace within my life, but we don't always have that peace, do we? Every one of us, including myself in this room today, have the experience, do we not, of some anxiety, yes. Sometimes anxiety that we can't escape or get away, or anger, yeah, we can struggle with that too. Or elements of frustration, we go through periods of discouragement, some struggle with depression or hopelessness, and our hearts somehow struggle to find rest and peace because shalom has been shattered. I wonder, have you had any sleepless nights recently where your mind went all over the place with an endless catalogue of what ifs? What ifs? You see, peace with God means peace within. And we were created, were we not, to experience and live in peace with humanity. To live in peace with each other. You see, when I don't have peace with God and I don't have peace inside myself, it makes it very hard for me to live at peace with others, and our lives are then marked by conflict. All around us is unrest. All around us is conflict. Because not only, church, do we have a glory problem, but we have a peace problem also. Because brokenness with God leads to brokenness within. Leads to brokenness in the community round about us. The angels would say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This song really, for me, does capture the great human dilemma. Glory, thieves, shalom, shattered, and in our defining moment, that defining our need, this angel song actually and really points you and I to the mission of the Messiah. The King of Kings. We know that Jesus didn't come in some political mission to establish some earthly kingdom. He disappointed a lot of people with that one. And still today, people think that politicians can be their nation's Messiah. He didn't come on some educational mission just to correct our worldview. Jesus didn't come on a psychological mission, guys, just to make sure that we felt okay. We're doing okay. Jesus, in fact, didn't come, hear this one, he didn't come on a religious mission to make sure that we did external, religious, appropriate things. That is not why he came. Not at all. Jesus' mission is much more radical than that and much more fundamental than that. And if we listen to this, if we don't understand this, we actually misunderstand the mission of Jesus Christ. If I have a glory problem, and if I have a peace problem, then what I actually have is a heart problem. My problem isn't so much my relationships, no. My problem is not so much my situation. My problem is something is broken in my heart. Something is broken inside of me. David's heart was broken. David got it right when he said in Psalm 51, create in me create in me a clean heart. That's my Christmas wish. Renew a right spirit within me. I don't believe, Pastor Debbie, anything's changed in the world since these days. I believe that's still the need. A radical, personal, long-term heart change, because that's my problem, and I'm guessing that's your problem. The prophecies of the coming Savior are very clear that He is coming to address that problem. The prophet says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart. Oh, how many of us have needed to hear those words in our life? Wow. I will put a new spirit in you. Listen to this. I will remove from your heart the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If you haven't figured this out when it comes to salvation, that's His work. That this stony heart, resistant to change, would become a heart come alive by God's work and now able to change. And that people who once lived, yes, us, for our own glory, would now by His grace live for His glory. Jesus came because my only hope today would be His grace. Nothing more. I cannot escape my heart. I can move to another location. I can get myself out of a relationship. But the one thing I can't escape is the absolute condition of my heart. So my problem is me. My problem's always been me. Always been me. And because of this, a Messiah, a Savior had to come. And we don't need a Savior unless we're unable to help ourselves. The word Savior tells, I've mentioned this a couple of weeks back, the word Savior tells you we need to be rescued. We need to be saved. These words really do define our need. They really do define the mission of Jesus Christ. But they also define for us the price or the cost of this mission. It's really captured in that final phrase. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. We may recognize more as peace, goodwill towards men. Many translations say peace to those on whom His favor rests. And really the meaning is not about favoritism or pleasing God. It is peace to those to whom grace is given. You see, the only hope of grace, of peace, is grace. And the vehicle of grace is a death. You see, that stolen glory and that shattered peace left you and I guilty, because rather than living for God, we have sought at some level to somehow be God. Rather than honoring the Creator, we have worshipped the creation, and the sentence of the guilt is death. Church, today we do not understand the baby in the manger unless we know that baby came to be the Lamb of God on the cross who takes away the sins of the world. Here is the plan. He would come, and from day one, all of His thoughts, all of His desires, all of His actions, reactions, and responses would be fully and completely and perfectly lived to the glory of God. Always. Jesus, on our behalf, would live for our glory. Jesus would live the life that you and I simply could not live. And on the cross, Jesus would bear our penalty. And Jesus would face the rejection of Abba Father, so that we could know His acceptance and peace within. upward peace that would create for you and I inward peace, that would give us the ability to have outward peace that all men would know. That was the plan. Jesus came willingly. Jesus knew what the price would be. Jesus would die so that you and I might live. Hallelujah. So that raised out of human beings who live for their own glory, raised out of human beings who don't care for peace with God, would rise up a company of people who growingly, I believe that says, who are captivated by the presence and by the glory of God, who love the fact today that they have peace with God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace with those with whom He is well pleased. Church today, let us, for a moment, if we can, when he asked Peter to come back at this time, let us, for a moment, reflect and recognize that perhaps in here today, we might still have a glory problem. We don't always get the glory of God right. I know I don't. Maybe recognize that we have a peace problem. We don't always care that much about peace with God. We don't always have peace within. We surely don't always experience peace one with another. So that the work of that grace is as needed by us today as it has ever been before. See, scriptures tells us the angels announce my hope, your hope. The angels announce our redemption. The angels announce to you grace. Grace of a life lived. Grace of a death offered so that you and I may live for the glory of God. So that we may experience in all ways possible the peace of God. But maybe here we are, sitting here on this particular December morning, waiting for Christmas, and perhaps we have not that peace of God within that we desire today. Let's reflect for a moment or two, and just consider what we've heard today. Would you stand with me in the congregation? If you want to stand at home, you may do that also. But there's a posture, perhaps, that some of us want to get into just to have a moment with God. And the posture looks like this. And you may feel, I want to be in that posture today in your presence, God. I want to bow the knee before our awesome God, before the God of glory, that I can say glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill to all men, that my relationship with God is right, that you might want to say, God, create in me a clean heart. We're not saying your heart's been messed up or dirty. But in seasons of life, we have to come before the throne of grace, do we not? And say, God, I need your help. I need your peace. I need your goodness and love in my life. So we're going to sing that song. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're not going to be here too long. We've got another service to go again, an hour's time, you know. But we're going to give time for you and I to wait in God. Let's sing this, then at the end, Tim will come and close things up. Create in me a clean heart.